So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. It's Tommy Freedom for the next 30 minutes once again. Good to be back. I'm always glad you tune in to listen to what I have to say. That could be good or that could be bad, I guess. But anyway, it's good to have you back. There's a bunch of things I want to talk to you about this week, and some of them I'm probably going to get more in-depth into because some of them are getting kind of run over and over and over again, namely the whole impeachment debacle involving Donald Trump. Well, I'm sure you all saw that very solemn ceremony where Nancy Pelosi just determinedly signed all those articles of impeachment. What a dog and pony show that was, folks. What'd she think she was, the President of the United States? Did you pay attention? Did you actually see this? She had a pen for every letter in her name. She would take one pen and sign one letter. Put it down, take another pen, sign another letter. The whole thing was just a show. It was almost laughable if it wasn't for what this actually represents. It was almost funny. I mean, even when the president signs a declaration or a bill into law, yeah, he uses multiple pens, but he uses one pen for each name, so you can actually read that the name was signed. Donald, one pen. John, pen number two. Trump, pen number three. This moron was literally signing one letter with each pen. I mean, how is that even considered a legal signature? That I would like to know. Is that a legal signature? Because it's not one continuous signature. You're actually drawing something that happens to look like letters. Well, that's my opinion. Of course, everybody has one. But the whole thing was just a mockery of our justice system. And then that whole procession over to the Senate to make this quote-unquote official looked more like a funeral procession than some sort of an official government procession. It was despicable. And then the whole time, Nancy Pelosi saying how somber a moment this was for our country and how much she hated. Hell no, that bitch is gloating over this. But she's not going to be gloating for long. This is not going to last. And see, here's the thing. Once again, they think they've come up with something. Every day I get on Yahoo News and I see this, that, and the other thing. New bombshell. These things aren't bombshells. They're not even ladyfingers. I mean, a bombshell would be something substantial, like a video that actually showed Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin sitting down over a glass of vodka, and Vladimir saying, "Hey, comrade, I will help you if you give me money." All right, something like that. No, that would be a bombshell. That would be some real news. But there ain't no real news. There's no bombshells. These are just things that people are making up, and the news runs with this, calling this a bombshell, like it's some kind of a smoking gun. No, it's not. And it's pathetic. And it's getting old. It really is. And the American public's starting to tire of this whole thing. It's a farce is what it is. And everyone is getting tired of it. They don't want this to go on. They don't want to see their president impeached. I'm sure there's a few out there that do, but for the most part, no. The American public does not want to see their president impeached, especially now that they're starting to realize that he hasn't done anything wrong. Now, you have this new government group out there that's done their own independent investigation saying that, yes, he did violate the War Powers Act. No, he didn't. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the War Powers Act, let me just kind of break this down really quick and make it really, really simple. Congress passed the War Powers Act so that, let's just say, for example, that we were dealing with Iran, and Congress had allocated money for Iran, and Iran went ahead and launched their attack on us, and we said, okay, or Trump said, okay, I'm not giving you that money now. Well, that would be a violation of the War Powers Act because Congress has allocated that money, and it must go through. Well, that didn't happen with Ukraine because they got their money. They got their money on time. They got it before the deadline. So there's no violation of the War Powers Act. These people, they just, I don't know, they have their head buried in the sand or someplace else, that they're just not paying attention to this stuff. They're so gung-ho on trying to get this man on something he hasn't done that they just are not stopping to pay attention to the fact that they're wrong. There's nothing there. But they're deluded. They are fully convinced that there is something there on Donald Trump that they're going to magically find that doesn't exist, and they're going to bring it up. Now, the House had the opportunity to prove its case when they voted for articles of impeachment. They were supposed to bring all the witnesses they needed to make their case. Now let's go on over to the Senate. Now they're wanting more witnesses. No, they've already done their job. It's not the Senate's job to bring witnesses and do that for the House. The House had their opportunity and they blew it because they knew if they brought witnesses in that there was nothing there because they were all lying. And now they got these new witnesses. Oh, we got all these bombshells, which again, don't even amount to ladyfingers, not even a pistol cap. They've got nothing. But now they're saying, oh, we have all these new witnesses. We got to talk to them. And the Senate said, no, we're not going to do that. It's not our job to do that for you. So in all likelihood, they're going to listen to what the House has to say, because right now, Adam Schiff is feeling very, very important. He thinks he's the most important man on the face of the earth right now. This has gone completely to his head. And he's going to do everything he can to drag this out and keep his face on the news and in the limelight as long as he can. But this isn't going to go anywhere. It's not. It's going to hit a brick wall, a dead end, and Donald Trump will be found not guilty, and he will be vindicated. Now, personally, yes, I'd love to see a bunch of new witnesses come in because our side has witnesses that weren't allowed to testify on when the House was listening to this. It would be awesome to get all these people like Joe Biden and Hunter Biden and all these other people who have committed actual crimes to be put on the stand and grilled and see what they do. I would just absolutely love that. But Donald Trump will be acquitted, and mark my word, folks, 4, 5, 6 months from now, they're going to find something else, and they're going to try this crap all over again. This is no longer a silent coup. This is an active attempt to overthrow the President of the United States. This needs to be dealt with, and it needs to be dealt with swiftly. Once Trump is acquitted, he needs to go after all of these people and bring them to justice for what they have done, which is an attempt to overthrow the president and the government of these United States. And let me remind you, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff for brains, Gerald Nadler, and all of your ilk, the penalty in this country for treason is death. Now, let me be abundantly, crystal, transparently clear. I am not making a threat. I am not saying that I will go out and do something. I am saying is that the penalty for treason in this country is death. These people could be executed for their crimes. Most likely they wouldn't be. They would be put in prison, but they could actually be executed. Excuse me. However, if the people of this nation get pushed over the edge, then all bets are off. And that is what I am cautioning all of you progressives on. Our government officials may not be brave enough to do it, but if you piss the people of this country off and they raise up with their pitchforks and their torches, I can tell you, it's going to be over. And it's going to be over for a long time, because if you push the people to the point where they break, and you're getting very dangerously close to doing it right now, if you push the people to the point where they break, and there is a civil uprising in this country, when it's over and done with, people are going to say, no, last time we let things slide, we didn't do everything we should have, and this time they will. I'm just cautioning you on that. It will happen if you continue to go this route. I want to talk to you now about a symbol of American culture. Now, when you think of symbols of America, yeah, you think of mom, baseball, apple pie, Statue of Liberty, you know, maybe the bald eagle. But there is one piece of American culture that is known around the world that says America more than anything else, and that is the AR-15/M16 rifle. And for years, this gun has been coming under the scrutiny of the public, the federal government, the press, the media, the antis, everyone. They hate this gun for some reason. It is the quintessential American gun. But there have been some cases recently. This was brought to my attention, I don't know, about 6 months ago. And I didn't think there was enough for a story back then. But now some recent evidence has come to light where charges against people involving AR-15s are being dismissed. And the answer to the question that you are thinking is, because technically, an AR-15 is not a rifle. It's not a firearm. Whoa! Where did that come from? Okay, it's a gun. You pick it up, you pull the trigger, and it shoots, right? Yeah. But you see, those morons over at the ATF wrote down certain things many, many years ago that sounded really good at the time, long before the AR-15 was even a concept, and the concept of an upper and lower receiver were even thought of. So the ATF defines a firearm as a receiver and a barrel with all the parts needed or required to fire that weapon. So in other words, that would include the frame, the trigger, the hammer, and all that, and a barrel on a pistol. And on a rifle, it would include the receiver, the hammer, the trigger, the sit, well, all that kind of stuff, with the barrel attached to it. Now, technically, by law, it's the receiver that you have to have the serial number on that's registered as the firearm. But this is going to open up a whole can of worms. I mean, Pandora's box has been opened here, that even just selling a receiver by itself really is no longer considered a firearm. So how does this work? Well, unlike most other guns in the world, and there are some others now that have both an upper and a lower receiver, on the AR-15, the lower receiver holds all the fire control parts. So it's, by the ATF's own admission, that's not a firearm. The upper receiver has the receiver and the barrel attached to it, but no fire control parts. Therefore, according to the ATF, that's not considered a firearm either. So by their own stupidity and arrogance, they have been enforcing a law that doesn't exist because it wasn't worded correctly. So an AR-15 is not considered a firearm. And this has come up several times over the years, and it's getting more and more frequent now. And of course, now with this big article from the Associated Press here, everybody's going to know about this. But up until now, the courts have been just quietly tossing these cases out because they know they can't win them. And if it goes to the Supreme Court would rule in favor of the American public. So what's happening is people who are convicted felons are getting caught with AR-15 lower receivers or upper receivers, things along that line, and they're being prosecuted for it. But they're not firearms. And the ATF has to admit that. So these cases are being tossed out, but you don't hear about this in the news. But now, recently, this article has come up that deals directly with this. And again, this is from the Associated Press. And it says, a subtle design feature of the AR-15 rifle has raised a technical legal question that is derailing cases against people who are charged with illegally buying and selling the gun's parts or building the weapon. Now, of course, it's a big thing going after these homemade AR-15s. What they're now calling ghost guns, years ago were called invisible AR-15s. They're home built. And it says, at issue is whether a key piece of one of America's most popular firearms meets the definition of a gun the prosecutors have long relied on. And this is what I was trying to explain to you. For decades, the federal government has treated a mechanism called the lower receiver as the essential piece of the semi-automatic rifle, which has been used in some of the nation's deadliest mass shootings. Prosecutors regularly bring charges based on that specific part. But again, from what I just described to you, it's not. And a lot of these defense attorneys are now arguing that the lower receiver alone doesn't meet the definition within the law. Federal law enforcement officials who have long been concerned about that discrepancy, they knew about this, but they were prosecuted anyway, are increasingly worried that it could hinder some criminal prosecutions and undermine firearms regulations nationwide. Now that the cat is out of the bag, I think you'll see more of this going on, said Stephen Holbrook, or I'm sorry, Halbrook, who's an attorney that has written books on gun law and history. Basically, the government has gotten away with this for a long time. This article goes on to say that since 2016, at least five defendants have challenged the government and succeeded in getting some of the charges dropped, avoiding prison or seeing their cases eliminated entirely. Three judges have rejected the government's interpretation of the law, despite dire warnings from prosecutors. So they're not changing this. This whole thing rests on the shoulders of the ATF. And last month, a federal judge in Ohio dealt with, I guess, the latest blow, which has brought this to light. He dismissed charges against two men accused of making false statements to buy lower receivers. Any public citizen would be concerned about this loophole that we exploited, said attorney Thomas Kurt, who represented defendants Richard Rowold. As a citizen, I hope the ATF corrects this. As Mr. Rowold's attorney, however, I'm grateful the judge followed the law in getting to the correct result. Well, it just goes to show, whether you believe in something or not, if you're an attorney, if somebody's paying you money, you're going to take their case. The gun industry estimates there are more than 17 million AR-15-style rifles in circulation, and the NRA once dubbed it America's rifle. Well, that's what I said. I mean, it's as American as baseball, apple pie, and mom. So I gotta take a break here, folks. When I come back, I want to talk to you about what's going on up in Virginia with them going after the guns, trying to take the AR-15 and other so-called assault weapons away from the public. And I have some thoughts on this, so stick around.
From now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Join Canadian Association for Freedom of Expression director Paul Fromm for Walking on the Fighting Side of Me. That's The Fighting Side of Me with Canadian Association of Freedom of Expression, Paul Fromm, only on KKKRadio.com.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay Pride Days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists Billy and Charity, because it's okay to be white and proud.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Well, folks, you learn something new every day. My dad just came in during the break, and he had a Clive Cussler book, and he asked me if I'd ever heard of a Webley semi-automatic revolver. No, Dad, I've never heard of a semi-automatic revolver, and the reason he asked me was because my little sister one time had written a short story where the villainess pulled out a snub-nosed 38 automatic pistol. Obviously doesn't exist, and could not explain to her why there is no such thing as a 38 snub-nosed automatic revolver, okay? So anyway, he asked me if I'd ever heard of this Webley automatic revolver, and of course I hadn't, but Clive Cussler does a lot of research, so I looked this thing up, and folks, it was actually designed in 1895, was in production from 1901 or 1902 until 1924, and it's a real revolver that operates on recoil just like a semi-auto does today. Incredible thing. So, yeah, I learned something new myself. While I'm on the topic of guns, I want to discuss that debacle that's been going on in the state of Virginia for the past little bit. And I'm, of course, referring to where the governor has decided that he is going to attempt and ban assault weapons. And this is just an absolute disgrace. Now, the problem with Virginia is it's almost like two states. These last elections, the entire state turned blue. Or did it? No, it didn't. Virginia is a red state. The problem is, you have counties like Fairfax County, Arlington County, Richmond, that are literally nests that are infested with these liberals who have more votes than those in the rest of the state put together. So it appears that the state is blue, but it's actually red. What they need to do is to take Eastern Virginia, where these places are, and just make their own state so that they can be part of D.C. because the rest of the state is red and will continue to be that way. In fact, have you heard this, folks? Seven counties in the state of Virginia actually passed, they're not ordinances, they're bills, I guess, these counties. So I don't know what you would call them when they're done on the local and county level. But these seven counties have anyway put forth this legislation that they want to secede from the state of Virginia and become part of West Virginia. Yes, folks, people actually want to become part of West Virginia. That's how bad the state of Virginia has gotten. Now, it's got to be ratified by the people, and then it's got to go to the state to be voted on, where, of course, they're not going to vote to allow these seven counties to secede from their state. But that's how bad it's getting. It's just like the portion of Northern California and Southern Oregon that want to form their own state because they're so unlike the rest of those two states. This is where it's going, folks. This is how bad it's getting. People are talking about moving from one state to another to become part of another state. It's incredible. So there is not this huge push in the state of Virginia to ban guns. There's just not. It's not there. Last week, it was 2,000 people showed up to protest against what was going to be going on for Martin Luther King Day. And the NRA said that 2,000 people showed up that they had sent. This is in addition to everyone else who showed up to protest. And they made such a stink about this that the legislators went back and they kind of redrew a lot of these things. They withdrew some of these laws that were proposed altogether. Not the assault weapons ban, but some of the other ones they highly modified or just threw out altogether. So don't think that your voice doesn't count, because it does. The problem with this is that they will get something put through. And a little ways down the road, they'll get something else put through. And so on and so forth, until gradually we just keep shifting further and further and further to the left until our liberties are gone. That's how it works. They've been chipping away at our liberties now for, well, as long as this country has been in existence. And they always will be until they are eradicated from the face of the earth. And as with any good infomercial, but wait, there's more. You've probably heard that the governor of Virginia, Ralph Northam, had decided that he didn't want any guns at the rally on Martin Luther King Day. So he issued this order, like an executive order, that was going to ban all firearms, bats, chains, anything, knives, anything that could be construed as a weapon was going to be banned from this rally. He didn't want something to happen there like happened in Charlottesville a couple of years ago. Now, why he just didn't ban large horsepower vehicles, I don't know, because there were no guns, to my knowledge, that were involved in the killing in Charlottesville. It's where somebody took their car and heroically barreled down the road and took out a bunch of these pieces of liberal crap. But anyway, he decided he was going to ban guns. Well, guess what, folks? All those people who showed up last week said they were going to show up again this week. People were coming in from all over the state and adjacent states declaring that they were going to carry openly. Now, I'm finishing this show up on Monday morning. As you know, I have to pre-record these things because of my schedule. So as of now, I don't know if it will actually happen, or by the time you hear this, if it did actually happen. But if it did, it's something I'm definitely going to talk to you about coming up next week, because that is amazing that at least 2,000 people or more are going to defy that order, knowing that the cops are there and maybe even the National Guard, and show up armed anyway. Yeah, that could actually lead to a confrontation, a serious confrontation. We'll have to see how it went, but all it would take would be a spark to set this off. And folks, we are getting closer and closer and closer every day to having an armed confrontation with the government. It almost happened with Clive and Bundy. And at some point, something will ignite that powder keg. It's inevitable. And when it comes to the right to keep and bear arms, that could actually be the tipping point. Our founding fathers gave us the right to keep and bear arms for a reason. And who the hell gave you the right to take my guns away from me? The experts agree. Gun control works. Just ask Idi Amin, Joseph Stalin, Pol Pot, Adolf Hitler, Mao Zedong, Muammar Gaddafi, Kim Jong-il, or Fidel Castro. Till next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Until then, stay awake. Stay vigilant. Stay informed. If you are going up to Virginia or down to Virginia, depending upon where you are or within the state of Virginia, stay safe and stay out of jail. But most important, stay tuned, because I will be back next week. It's been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.
freedom.